And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Now, this could mean it was a dream or simply a vision that occurred at night. The Lord said something that we should all be aware of and heed. This message is for Paul and for us, and it comes from God's awesome words. Of course, we should tremble at the word of the Lord when he tells Paul not to be afraid. Dave, how do you tremble and not be afraid? And speak out. And speak out, too. For God is with us. That's what he's going to tell Paul, and that's what he tells you and I. So it's a three-pronged approach. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Remember the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid means just that. Fear not. We don't have to be afraid. Speak out doesn't mean speaking obnoxiously, but being willing to speak. And then the Lord gives us the reason for this. He's with us, and because of that, we are solid. Finally, as the story throughout Acts goes, people become jealous and frustrated with Paul's kingdom activities. They persuade others to falsely charge and accuse him of breaking the law. Ironically, Christians who function as normal Christians are being accused of breaking the law. The Lord knows this is nonsense, and so do we. Instead of always freaking out about it, sometimes the Lord directly intervenes. Like in the case we're going to examine, he had the magistrate say, "I don't care. I'm not interested. Go away." Sometimes the Lord just says, "Leave my kids alone." And that is cool.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. See, that's what my parents used to do. I'm just saying, you know. You guys don't understand. You think that's kind of like just a joke because it's the cultural thing. Absolutely wrong. When you lived in a Jewish home, it wasn't but 10 times a day you would hear, oy vey, and then you'd have to wait and see what it is. See, and here's the thing about oy vey. I'm just going to teach you this real fastly. Oy vey can mean something negative, positive. You don't have no idea. It's a word that only means whatever the situation is. So if you win the lottery, you go, oy vey, we won the lottery. Or if your car blows up, it's, oy vey, my car blew up. You see how that works?
Oy vey. I like that, Dave.
See?
Can I take it?
You just got to think about that. See, I'm just saying that. All right, so here's the bottom line. I just had to share that with people. I don't know why. Here's the bottom line, okay? We're asking you what you think. We're asking you where you're at and to connect with us in it because we love it, because it's fellowship, and because we need the fellowship of encouraging one another as we see the day of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. And man, you just take a look around. It's like he's getting pretty close, right? We hope he comes before I finish this sentence. But the bottom line is until he comes, we're just going to keep encouraging one another, strengthening one another, and persevering. That's what we're supposed to do, advancing the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about that in the message. But while we're doing this, you can email us while this is going on at any point during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Yeah, no, really. 972-445-0770. That's 972 845-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, now this is a really good one, and I got to explain this one just a little bit, okay? Talking to Dynamite D is like finding a replacement for something that you use that's cheaper and better than what you replaced.
I'll take it, Dave.
How's that? So I have a wireless mouse, okay? Yep. Normally they're like $14, $15, whatever the case may be. And I don't do well with technology. And if it survives for more than a year, that's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying that. Once again, I destroyed by accident my mouse. I don't know if I thought it was a real mouse or whatever, but I found a mouse and it was $6 cheaper, under $10, right? Got it, put the batteries in. It's the best mouse I've ever had. And it's the cheapest one I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Best I've ever had. I'm like, praise the Lord. It's like, yes, right. So I'm just letting you know, that's what it's like talking to you, buddy. It's like finding a better deal at a cheaper price.
I'll take it.
There you go. You owe me $1. No, wait. You owe me $3.50. Okay. Bottom line, if you've got a prayer request, give us a call. You're thinking, I don't know if I want to talk to you guys. Oh, just call. We'll pray with you. That's the big thing. If you've got a praise report and you want to share it, not in this segment, but in the next segment, I'm going to share some news. It's great news and terrible news at the same time. So I'm going to share that, not in this segment, but in the one to come. So, yeah, you should get your brain wrapped around that a little bit. But if you've got a prayer request, share it. Reach out to us. If you've got a praise report, let's do it. You can reach out, and we'll do it together. We'll pray together. It's awesome to do it because we're joining each other's faith. Where the Bible says, Paul said in Romans 15:30, join me in my struggle by praying for me. That's how you do it. You join one another that way as well. Very powerful. All right. I am going to offer up a trivia question. See if you guys can. If you don't get this, again, I'm going home. Jacob served Laban for 7 years for the hand of his daughter, Rachel, and Laban made him a big feast. However, the daughter that he gave Jacob was not Rachel. Who was it? Who was the switcheroo daughter? And I wonder how she felt about that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So who was the switcheroo daughter that Laban functioned with? Wow, not very nice, is it? Who was that? He served 7 years for the hand of Rachel, and then the dude made a switcheroo. Who did Jacob end up marrying? That is the question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Somebody is calling in. 214-210-8483 or david@hemustincrease.org. So we ready? It looks like they're on the phone. So while they're doing that, let's see if we're about close to that. We are ready for that. So then we'll have them talk, and then we'll do our DNA because we've been running late in DNA. Let's send the person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Don again.
Hi, Don again. How are you?
I'm good. I just love listening to this show.
Well, we appreciate that, brother. I appreciate that. You should know that. I'm glad that you like it.
I dedicate my day from 1:30 to 3:00.
That's brave.
I try something and bring it over to your city. I bake for my Sunday school class at church, and so I'm going to have to do that.
Awesome. All right, my brother, here you go. All right.
Okay.
Jacob served Laban for 7 years for the hand of his daughter, Rachel. Laban made a feast. However, the daughter he gave Jacob was not Rachel. There was a switcheroo. Who was it?
Laban's other daughter.
And her name?
Oh, I don't remember her name.
Okay. Her name. But you got it right. So we're going to give you, it was his other daughter. All right, so I'm going to give you that right now.
I know there was the other daughter.
The daughter was Leah. So Leah was the
Leah. Of
yeah.
Course.
So Leah's And I was talking with the pastor, and nobody get insulted by this, because I thought he said this. It was rather funny, but he goes, that poor girl, first of all, she gets put in the marriage place, even though it's their custom. It wasn't the direction she was going. Then she wasn't really favored, and that didn't work out. And then the Bible describes her as having nice eyes. And it's like, that's not nice. Anyway, I'm just saying that could have been a better compliment. Anyhow, I'm just saying, it's like, wow. She got a great personality. Anyways, it's just one of those things. But you are correct, sir. It was the other daughter.
David, he was a rascal, wasn't he?
He was. This is something. That's funny you should say that. He was much, much worse than people know. In fact, when Abraham's servant.
Good word.
he was a kind of a snakish kind of guy. I mean, he was manipulating with his dad, and then manipulating with his mom at the same time when they were dealing with Abraham's servant. You just got to catch it. It's really fascinating. So if we get into Genesis, I'll get into it and get into the teaching. So really good call on that, though. That's right. You're correct.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, bro.
All right. Love you, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent job. How do you not love our stuff? We have just got great people.
Great callers, Dave.
Great callers. All right. DNA, D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Just spend some time. I don't even, it's like I have to just spend time. If it's, you know what? I really mean this. If you can only spend 5 minutes, spend 5 minutes. If you can only spend 2 minutes, spend 2 minutes. Just do it. It's kind of like, I don't want to say it's like the gym, but it is like the gym. Just get there.
It is, Dave. I think that's
get
a
there. Just like a discipline. Yeah, it is a discipline, a spiritual discipline, certainly. Well, then discipline, okay? 5 minutes, 5 minutes less of TV, 5 minutes less of a podcast, 5 minutes less of a radio show. I'd rather you spend time with God than with me. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like that's a better thing, okay? Draw closer to the Lord daily. N, that's our D. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Never, 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 never. When the world tries to define love, don't pay attention, because their definition of love is twisted. Use God's definition, okay? Use what Jesus taught. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means other people matter. The more that we pour into others, the more we're going to find that the Lord pours into us, because what a man sows, that shall he also reap. And in that context, if you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ and the Lord is pleased. Okay? Is that just as straightforward as can be? All right. We're just going to keep going. If I mess this up, we don't need to do a break yet, do we? We might skip it all. Who knows? Who knows? Does it matter, folks?
Been a skipping type of week.
And I was really bad at the skip game. Whatever, the hopscotch or whatever. That was terrible. You know that part where you turn around at the end? Oh, that was not kind to me. All right, let's just move on. Now that I've told on myself again, let's just move on, because I don't feel like I want to keep talking about that. All right, the text that we're in is Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Acts chapter 18, verse 9, it says this: one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you. Okay, just stop right there before we go to the rest of it, okay? Here's why that's important. You don't even have to go any further to pick up on this. The Lord speaks to Paul. It's in a vision at night. So some people are like, well, that could be a dream or that could be a vision. Okay. Whichever makes you happiest, that's awesome. Okay. That's not the issue. It's what's being said. God tells him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I'm with you. Now just stop, because the rest of it, he goes, and no one will harm you because I have many people in their city. That's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on this three-pronged element. Don't be afraid. One of the reasons that people don't share is they're afraid. What are they afraid of, Dave? They're afraid of rejection. Okay. If you thought you were going to speak and people were going to accept it, you would speak all the time. If you thought you were going to speak and people were going to reject it, you would be like, I don't want to speak. the Lord says, hey, you know what? Don't base your speaking on that. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. Share. Don't worry about, and we say this on the show on a regular basis, don't pull yourself back because you can't speak well. I've been doing, we have 4,500 hours of podcasts, okay? I've been speaking, well, of course, all my life, but I've been speaking on the air or public in some manner for 45 years, which probably is not an accident now that I just thought about that. And here's the biggest thing about it. I can't think of one time I have ever spoken where I said every word right straight across. My English is bad. It's, you know, I speak with confidence because I care less, not because I'm a profound speaker. When we care less and just kind of lean it more on the Lord, then you can share and recognize the most important thing about sharing. And it's all in this one little verse 10. For I am with you. Now you can come up with all that. I do this on a regular basis. I pray all these different things, go through things. And I always, every day, just tell the Lord, if you're not with me, I'm just not doing it. But if you're with me, I'll do whatever you want. Because if he's with us, then who cares? And so instead of worrying about how you sound or worrying about how it comes across, the focal point is that God is with us. By the way, how much is he with us? What was Jesus named? What was the reference to the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah? He was named Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God with us. How much is he with us? He became one of us. How often is he with us? That was Matthew 1, Matthew 28. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How often is he with us? All the time. How much is he with us? He became one of us. He lives inside you through the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in your heart by faith. He's with you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Oh, boy. Not just speaking. Anything, right? Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Plus, we want to say hello to anybody from KBright 1240 who's hanging out with us post the normal time.
Merging the two cities.
Merging the cities. It's so funny because you think about this. This is like the first time that I've done something like this where I'm doing this simulcasting. And then in my brain, I think, this is like step one for us, right? Can you imagine? The Lord is going to merge all cities every... I mean, it's just like,
pretty much, Dave.
Wow. Wow. Talk about national. No, we're talking about intergalactical. It's going to be like, wow, lights out crazy. All right, so I just think stuff like that's cool. And just started that new Bible thing I mentioned the other day, that new translation.
I remember you saying
it. Oh, my goodness.
New insight?
Oh.
Any little nuggets?
Okay, here's one. You ready? This is going to freak people out, right? All right. Okay. You know it's from the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to ask this question. I'm just going to drop it in your lap, okay? So, when Mary visits Elizabeth.
Yep.
Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. John the Baptist is the baby on the inside, mm-hmm. right? Mary comes in, so it's not that much long after the angel told her, right? But she's at this point pregnant, okay? Because when she comes in, Elizabeth says, hey, you know, highly favored, believe the words of the Lord, you know, carrying the Messiah, but kind of saying it in a different way. And then the baby, right, by the Holy Spirit, leaps for joy. Okay, all right. Just hold on. This is what's weird. How did the baby, just for, know that Mary was pregnant? How did one womb know what was going on in the other womb? Okay. I just want to, you really want to just sit there and go, wait, what? Like,
wow.
How did Johnny B in the womb, only by the Holy Spirit we know that, but he's in the womb, people. He's not even out. He's not even fully formed. He's only at 6 months. Okay, he's still growing. How did he know that there was a woman that had another womb that had occupancy?
Wow.
That's just the littlest thing. Yeah. You're just like, I'm just going to scratch my head now. Okay, because I don't even know how to. And you think that's the thing that, well, that's not. No, that's exactly what happened. And by the way, John the Baptist was, Johnny B in the womb was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth made proclamation. Johnny B leaped for joy. See, I know that moms know that babies know, you know when the baby kicks. How do you know the baby leaps for joy?
For joy.
Oh, my goodness. Don't even go to, this is just one, as if for a nugget. You like that one?
They like that one, Dave.
That's okay. All right, let's go. All right, so let's go back to this teaching because I want to do that. And we're going to get it back up on time and so on and so forth. But I do have a trivia question. I probably should do that. And this is a tough one, so I might not get an answer on this one. Why did Abraham tell his wife to tell the Egyptians that she was his sister?
That's an easy one, Dave.
Oh, maybe. Why did Abraham tell his wife to tell the Egyptians that she was his sister? So Abraham says to Sarah, okay, Sarah, tell them you're my sister.
Yeah.
Tell them you're my sister, okay?
Okay.
Why did that? What was that? What? Why'd you do that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. This is the kind of show where I'm just kind of like, yeah, we're just going with whatever. It's like it's better. Okay, we're going to do that. And then I do have some news I need to share in the next segment. I'm kind of preparing my own heart and mind for it to share it with you. It's excellent and horrible news at the same time. We'll get to that. In the meantime, let's have the caller respond to the trivia question. Send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Steven.
Hi, Steven. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. You get something's beeping on your phone.
You know, yeah, that's just me holding the phone, I guess, while I'm driving.
try to hold it without the beeping part.
you know, there's the law that says you can't have a woman if she's married, but if her husband dies, then you can.
Correct.
And that was Abraham's fear.
That
he would be put to death so that they could have her.
That is correct, Amanda! Now, the worst part about this, because you got to be honest about it when you look at Scripture, is he probably could have approached that differently, perhaps, but God still used it to bless him. That's the prayer. Can't get away from it.
There's a couple of other things, too. Would be if he could see into the future, he could ask his future son, Isaac, why he did it.
That's an excellent point.
And then the other thing is, he wasn't lying. He was actually telling the truth because she was
his half-sister. That's correct. It was a half-truth, right? It was kind of, it was a truth. But then again, a half-truth means that the other half is not quite the truth. So that's part of it. Excellent job, brother. Very, very good work.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. All right. Excellent, excellent job. Okay, yeah. I mean, he was afraid they were gonna take him out. He was gonna wipe him out.
He was a pretty woman, Dave. That's what the Bible says.
Yep, that's right. Maybe the relatives could have. All right, we'll move on.
Hold on. Let me say this though. To Abraham's point, it looked like that was gonna happen.
Well, I mean, he was right. He was. It was a situation that the Lord changed, which tells you God can change the situation from what you think is gonna be certain death to absolute blessing. Right. All right. We are going to take a break. When I come back, we're going to have to get a little heavy-hearted, so I'm just telling you that ahead of time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, "How can I be sure of this?" to Gabriel. "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, "How are you going to do this?" When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, "Nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible." Luke 1:37, the disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. So I've been kind of delaying and waiting on purpose so that we could have kind of like a little family discussion that we need to have. Many of you have been supporting us and being a part of the show and just doing a wonderful job, and we love it. And you know that the people that call in, the people we talk to, they're just absolutely outstanding, and we love them, and we hurt for them, and I know some of you weep for them and you cry for them. And we've got that going on. We've got the great news and then the sad news at the same time. I've got a text that came in from John regarding Nola, and Nola has passed away this morning. So the great news is she is now with the Lord, and there's no more pain, and there's no more sorrow, and there's no more grief for her. And we find that to be the comfort. And for John and his wife and for the parents, now we are in the process, and this is what I'm asking everybody to do. I want you to be in the process of praying for them to be comforted and encouraged. Now, there's zero question, and if you really need me to use the text, I can, but it's in 2 Samuel that has to do with David's response. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. When he says literally in verse 22, I will go, it's a verse 22, 23, the child has passed, I cannot bring the child back. I will go to him, but he will not return to me. That's in, for those who are looking for it, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And so Nola is doing great. That's not the problem. No more pain for her. She's doing fantastic. For John and for his wife, and for Nola's parents, they're not doing great. It's painful. And I mentioned this before, and so we're going a kind of a different direction in today's show. Just let it go, and let's see where the Lord takes it. So when my father passed away, he and my brother and I were in the room alone, and we looked at each other, and, he started to weep because, it's still your dad. And we're just like, this is where our faith, we don't believe that this body is the end of his life. We believe there's more to it. We believe that very thing for Nola. But the next 7 to 10 days were filled with quite some grief. Not, for us. And so people that are the ones that are on this earth are going through that grief part. They're going through that pain, and it hurts. I got it this morning. I didn't run a share yet. I wanted to get through most of the show because I knew as soon as we started talking about it, it kind of tears in my own heart. Now, it's not something that we didn't anticipate, and it's just amazing because we just had John talk to us the other day. And you don't stop hoping and you don't stop believing, but now that the answer has been given, what you do in the sense of comfort is you shift, you move the direction of your petitions to another place. Because now, again, there's no question where Nola is, especially theologically. It's like zero. Only the people that really don't understand the Lord just don't get it. That part I get. But Nola is doing great, right? She is free. She's walking with the Lord hand in hand. An angel met her. I mean, I love Billy Graham's thing where he talks about the angels meeting us when we pass. It's like, that's great, and she's fine. Now the family needs the comfort. Now the family needs the prayers. Now the family needs the petitions. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for them. And I'm going to pray now, but look it, I can't carry this alone any more than John and his wife or the parents could carry alone. I can't. We're all going to have to participate in praying for them, because John and Nola have been a part of our little radio universe. And so you're just like, okay. And here's the truth of the matter. God said no. No, I want Nola with me. And now we minister to those who are here waiting for that same opportunity to be face-to-face with the Lord, okay? So let's bring it before the Lord in prayer. And then we might exit early because it's just a little tough. We'll just see how that goes, but we'll just kind of play it by ear. But let's pray and let's bring it before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now. And first, Lord, first, as always, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you for everything, even the things we don't understand, even the things we don't grasp why this little girl didn't get the touch. But we do trust that your plan is perfect and your will is perfect. And yeah, I know a lot of people struggle with that, Lord, and sometimes I struggle with that. But I have more confidence in you than doubt in you. And we just ask you, Lord, to affirm the peacefulness of Nola for John and his wife, for the families, for the parents. They need it. We don't need it like they need it. They need it. And we ask you to minister to them and love them. Now, you are a God of comfort. And actually, your word's quite clear about the pleasurableness of people passing on to you and being closer to you. And so for that, in that sense, we can be grateful. But there's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. You feel it with us. And we barely feel it because that's their family. So we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and one who knows grief, that you would comfort the hearts of John and his wife and their family and Nola's parents. Let no bitterness creep in. Let no frustration in you creep in, but let their hearts be open to your healing balm, because only you can bring comfort in this. Lord, we turn our face to you on their behalf. We ask you on their behalf that in the name of Jesus Christ, you would be the God of comfort for this family and love them. We want to love them. We offer ourselves in any way we can. Bless them, help them, encourage them, and bring joy back into their hearts after they've had their right time. Bring your grace into their hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So that, you know, I want to talk about that. We'll exit in about 2 minutes or whatever the case may be. So I want you to understand something. This is the thing that blesses me and kind of irritates me at the same time. And that is, nobody does this walk the way that Jesus did the walk perfectly, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you can't overcome sin. It doesn't mean we don't – but it doesn't mean that we don't – it doesn't mean that things aren't hard and you have these tougher moments like this. And when there was a tougher moment, even though Jesus knew the result, he still cried. I mean, he didn't cry for Lazarus. I don't know why people think he cried for Lazarus when Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes. But Mary and Martha were going through it, and they really had a lot of pain. And Jesus shared that pain, and it made him weep.
And I think it's important for us to be able to look at Scripture and look at Romans chapter 12 and understand that we're supposed to laugh together, we're supposed to cry together, we're supposed to rejoice together, we weep together. So for our brother and our sister, their granddaughter, who's now with the Lord, and then the parents, we weep. And we recognize still that God's plan is perfect. We express our faith in the midst of trial, right? I mean, is there another way to say that? I don't even know.
And you know, as you were talking about this, Dave, I thought about, as I say this scripture quite well, but just carrying one another's burdens. I was like, it's one thing to go through this, and it's very tough. Like, I can't imagine. I'm not going to act like I can, but for us to be there, whether it's just praying or having it in our hearts, I think that's a beautiful thing within itself.
Yeah. And they're so, I mean, John is such a great, he's just a great guy.
He always blesses us when he calls.
He's just a great guy. And just, you know, we carry it. We'll carry it with them. We'll love on them. And what we're going to do is we'll have Dee, we'll go ahead and just take our break here, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me. Purchase my freedom at the cost of his son.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen. Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that guy? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas.
We're asking everybody to certainly keep Nola's family. Now, Nola is doing great, but keep her family in prayer. Keep John and his wife and Nola's parents in prayer for comfort. That's what we're asking for. Here's your trivia question. You guys should be able to get this one. None of these are really that hard. Here you go. What did Cain say when God asked him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" There you go. Straightforward. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So it's pretty, you know, it's not overly complex. What did Cain say when God asked him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Okay, where's Abel, your brother? If you think you know, we do have somebody calling in. Let's give them an opportunity to answer on the trivia question. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you?
I'm pretty good, except for the heat.
I gotcha. And my understanding is the heat today and tomorrow and maybe even Saturday, it's going to be scorch city. Is that right? It's going to be even worse.
Right.
Wow. Wowzer. All I want to say is, like we said before, if 99 degrees is a cooling trend, we got problems. All right. Anyway, just like that's funny. All right, my brother, you ready for this triv question?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, here you go. What did Cain say when God asked him, "Where is Abel, your brother?"
Well, first off, he answered the question with a question, which is not the right thing. And second, he said, "Where am I my brother's keeper?"
So that is correct, Amundo. And I love this one thing. Now, if you think about this, now watch this. Ready? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. According to the New Testament, you are. That's right. That's
your neighbor, too.
Exactly right. So, yes, that question. And I don't know that this is accurate or not, so I'll be very careful to say this is scripturally correct, but I will say it seems a wee bit arrogant to say that to God. It's like, what am I, my brother's keeper? You just know that it came out like not like something soft and simple, but more defiant, especially after committing the murder. It's like, wow, that is just bad all the way around. So excellent job, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I could use a prayer for a surgery on Monday.
What do you got going on?
Surgery.
When is that?
Surgery on Monday.
On Monday. Let's pray. What's this? Is it? Can you say what it is, or do you just want us to pray for the surgery?
Let's just pray for it.
All right, you got it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up our brother, and we love Will, and we just ask you in the name of Jesus to comfort him and not allow him to have fear or anxiety as to what's coming up. This right, literally those moments of unsurety, which the enemy often plays on, and if not, then we just give way to, Lord, don't let that creep up in him or grow in any way, shape, or form. Let him have great confidence in your sovereignty. And Lord, we also ask that you would help in this surgery process, that it would be phenomenally successful, that's how it would happen. You would help the surgeons, we'll help everybody in this situation to such a degree that there is a phenomenal success that comes out of this. We will not stop praying. We will believe. We will ask you for it. We ask you to give him a great report on this, and that he'd be able to return that great report to us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
And amen.
Amen, my brother.
Well, you have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to have to skip the history. This was not the, you know, you don't plan shows like this. It just is what it is, which is the best part, I think, of our fellowship, really, is just us being able to, you know, support and share and love one another. So let me pick it back up.
from verse 11, okay? Well, I'll take it from verse 9, go all the way through, because there's one really, really, really important point out of this that I really want to get to. And so in Acts chapter 18, verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, told him, "Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I'm with you, and no one will harm you because many people here in the city belong to me." Just remember that people belong to the Lord. Verse 11, so Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. Okay, so how long did he stay there? A year and a half, 18 months. Everybody kind of gets the idea, okay? Year and a half, he was hanging out there. Why is that important, and what does that matter to the rest of the text? The rest of the text is people became jealous, and we'll get into that perhaps if I have time, and if not, I'll do it next week. But here's the thing I want you to catch. God told Paul to speak out and not be silent because he had many people there, many people that belonged to the Lord, many people that were the Lord's, okay? Paul ended up staying there a year and a half. Everybody's tracking with me so far. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we stay where we are for 20 years. And sometimes it's 10 years. Sometimes it's 30 years. Sometimes it's 5 years. Sometimes it's a year and a half. Sometimes it's 6 months. Just because God coordinates something doesn't mean it will last for a decade, but it also doesn't mean it will only last for a day. So what am I trying to say in saying all that? The timing of how long Paul was there teaching is up to God. The timing for how long you did something in this particular realm is up to God. If you would have told me 15 years ago, hey, when you are, you know, when you turn this age, you're going to have a radio ministry, I would have said, you've lost your, you're nuts. You're crazy. I didn't start radio ministry till I was 50. Who does that? God. That's who does that. You know who does that? God. And he doesn't care. And so it could, like, really? I mean, you can't believe it. Nope. Never do. Nope. Nope. And you think that is absolutely insane. No, it's not. If you really think about it, think about Moses for a second. He was 40 years old when he visited the children of Israel. He blew it, went into ministry early. Somebody died over that. God sent him on the backside of a desert for another 40 years. Now he's 80 years old. And then God says, now you're ready. So he waited. The Lord waited till 2/3 of his life were over before he goes, now you're starting ministry, knucklehead, follow me. Okay, he didn't use knucklehead, but that's funny, right? And then God has to speak to him through the bush. And yes, it's fantastic, but think about what happened. For 40 years, he was on the backside of a desert. No wonder he had to have a burning bush. Something had to wake him up. But I'm just trying to point out, this is like, look at you. You don't tell me, oh, I'm too old for this, or I'm too young for this, or if God wants to have it happen, just answer this question. Is it going to happen? I mean, if he, you being his kid, is he going to get his way? Are you going to win, or is God going to win? I vote God. I bet God wins. And so the whole premise here, and so what happens is after that time was up, and this is why I always find this fascinating. So after that time is up, after that year and a half was up, it's time to move on. Maybe Paul wasn't going to move on. Here's what happens. It's literally verse 12 in that same text. When Gallio became governor of Achaia, the Jews rose up in a concentrated effort, action against Paul, and brought him to the governor for judgment. They accused Paul of persuading people to worship gods that are contrary to the law. Sounds a lot like what's going on in some places in America and a lot in England and Canada. Verse 14, but just as Paul started to make his defense, Gallio turned to Paul's accusers and said, listen, if this case was something important, something wrong, or something serious, I'd be obligated to listen to you. But this is merely a question of words and names and your Jewish laws, so take care of it. I'm not going to make any judgment on this. He drove them out of the court. The mob grabbed the Jewish leader of the synagogue and beat him right in front of them, but Gallo paid no attention. In other words, I don't care. That's what he told them. And what I'm trying to tell you is that when Paul's time was up, there was this big rising against him, and oh, he's going to have to defend himself, and he's going to have to do this, and we're going to have to do this. And then God just shut the whole thing down and said, okay, this is, we're done. That's enough of this. So The point in that is, one, God's timing is perfect, and it is not on your scale or mine, and it could be long, it could be short, it could be brand new, it could be old, it could be this. I don't know. We follow what the Lord wants. We do what he wants. And the other part of it is that when people start freaking out on Christians, and they are doing that now, sometimes the Lord's going to allow certain levels of persecution to go on. Sometimes he's just going to shut the whole thing down and just say, nah, that's not happening here. Who's in charge of that? God. Who's in charge of how much you go through? God. Who's in charge of your the trials that you endure? God. Isn't it amazing? Satan has to ask permission in the Old Testament to get to Job. Satan has to ask permission in the New Testament to get to Peter. Get it? He can't do any of that without God going, all right, well, we'll let you do this much. And that's all part of God's orchestrated plan. It's one of the biggest things. I love teaching this teaching. We'll get into this next week. God, the reason that he's Jewish, this is a joke, but the reason that he's Jewish, he wastes nothing. Even after he created Satan, it's like, I'm not throwing this out yet. I got to use it. It's just, don't you understand how funny that is? It's like, no, I know that. People are like, oh, I wasted this, or I wasted this, or I wasted this. And like God's like, nah, I didn't waste anything. It's just like, wow. God's in charge. Let's keep that in mind. And when things don't go our way, God's in charge. And when you don't get the result you want, God is in charge. And when you're not happy with the result, God is in charge. And when you think it should go a different way and you can do God's job better than him, God is in charge. And if you don't like the result after 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, and you want it to alter, God's in charge. You know who's in charge? God's in charge. And who's not in charge? Us. I love that. I am the captain of my own destiny, right up until a piano falls on your head. Then not so much. Kind of tough to argue that point there, isn't it? All right, folks, that'll be it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself, I go down to the...
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.